This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Welcome to another Joy 94.9 podcast.
Pretty good. We've already been in here today doing a pre-recorded interview for a show in the coming weeks, so I feel like I've been living at Joy today, which is always nice because we're getting ready for Radiothon.
Indeed, and it's great to be one of the shows on the eve of Radiothon. Radiothon, of course, starts tomorrow.
It's very exciting.
It is very exciting, and they're going to be rolled out. All of the prizes will be rolled out over the next 10 days, but goodness, there's so many special prizes. It's going to be wonderful. I'm looking forward to rejoining myself, rejoining my son, and rejoining my two teddy bears. So that should be fun over the course of it.
I think I got it in a bit early. Maybe they haven't received it in the mail yet. Who knows? Fingers crossed.
Okay, fingers crossed. Kylie.
Yes.
What is on the show tonight?
Well, we've got a bit of a mishmash of a show. I suppose to describe it that way. We've got a bit of HIV news, so taking a look at what's been hitting the media in the past week on about HIV. We're also going to talk about, there's an article in Southern Star today that I wrote about the celebrity effect. And so looking at how or what happens when a celebrity is diagnosed with a particular illness or publicly battles an illness.
And they do it so well in public, don't they?
And what actually happens? What do we do, the general population, what do we do in response to that? So we're going to take a look at some, I guess, interesting cases where some very well-known Australians have been diagnosed with particular illnesses. And I guess we'd like to hear your thoughts about, whether something that's hit the media or something that's affected a celebrity, how has that affected you? Has that made you go and get a test for something? And Tex, how could you do that?
Well, there are three options that you can choose tonight. You could send us an SMS, 0427JOY949, or if you've got your fingers hovering above a keyboard, you could send us an email, onair@joy.org.au, or if you'd like to speak to a real live person, we have a real live Gordon waiting to take your call, 96992949.
Well, stick around because next we're going to be talking about, taking a look at some HIV news.
Joy 94.9, the only radio station in the country that's out and proud.
Well, you are with Tex and Kylie on Well, Well, Well on Joy 94.9. And we thought we'd start by taking a look at some of the news I've had a look online. I look for a whole heap of news. It's part of my work at the VAC. And so I'm always trawling through a whole range of articles and news clippings, and some good, some bad. It's very interesting to see how HIV is covered in the media, and particularly comparing different news sources as well. So some are very very tame, and some of them are very sensationalist. So it's always really interesting.
And it's good that we can bring this information to you because, of course, with all of the media, there's an onslaught of media online, all sorts of Twitters and all sorts of things happening everywhere. So sometimes this information gets hidden. So it's nice for it to get a bit of an airing.
Actually, Twitter would be an interesting one. I'm not a big... I don't know how you describe what you do when you're on Twitter because it scares me. But I think it would be interesting to actually follow topics like HIV and I don't know what people talk about on Twitter.
Have you ever tweeted?
No. I know that celebrities, and we are going to be talking about them a bit later, they like to say that they're going and getting a coffee, or they went and did their laundry, or they went and took their laundry for someone else to do. which I think is really dull.
Captivating.
Yes. I know that you'd be totally interested in that, wouldn't you, Tex?
Oh, I'd just be thrilled. Just thrilled.
And so I thought we'll take a look at one of the stories that you've had a read through and about the news that HIV is stabilising or reached a plateau in South Africa, which is interesting because and they I think it's 10% of their population is living with HIV, so it's about 5.5 million.
Yeah.
So it's still, it's you know, the situation is still pretty, I guess, grim in terms of rates of HIV. But I guess there's been some successes.
Well, that's the really good point. There's been actually been a drop in the rates of HIV amongst children and young people, or teenagers, if you like. I think the story said teenagers, which is a really good news story, actually, for a country where HIV is so prevalent. To be getting a major turnaround, or if you like, a stabilisation anyway, which can look at things changing in the future. And, of course, you know, there's also always lots of different theories as to why things happen. But one of the really good things is an increase in condom use. And we were having a chat in the office earlier today about condom use in Africa. People are saying, oh, condoms won't work in Africa because there's so many barriers to the use of condoms, you know, whether they're a cultural barrier, a religious barrier. Well, it's interesting that this media report said that one of the reasons why is that there's been an increase in condom use by all sorts of people, not just young people, but by men, women encouraging men to use condoms, which is a really interesting thing to hear. Because so often, as I said, so often we hear in the media that condom use is just not going to take on in a continent like Africa. Mm. And this, if you like, is information flying in the face of that sort of info. But something which I picked up on, which I thought was quite interesting, that 90% of young people had heard about HIV from their government. I don't know if we could say that here.
Yeah, it'd be interesting to find out, because I think there probably is still that gap with, you know, some young people are saying, yep, I learned about it at school, and others are saying, no, we don't really talk about it anymore. And so it's interesting. And going back on the fact about the increase in condom use and the expectations about or people thinking it's not going to work, I think that a lot of people might actually think that or expect that the uptake of a particular idea or behaviour that's worked well in, say, a country like Australia, they think it should happen at the same kind of rate. And it clearly doesn't, because there's a whole range of cultural, social and political issues that are in the way that you have to break down. So it's probably just going to take a little bit longer.
Indeed, but this news story or this news report actually is saying just that condoms are a major power, a major reason. Something which I thought was quite interesting is that the rollout of antiretroviral therapy has also contributed to this stabilisation of HIV within Africa, as South Africa. Mm-hmm. Is what we're talking about.
And I think the impact that it would have on mother-to-child transmission as well would be huge. So you're not getting babies born with HIV, so that would make a huge difference as well.
And with less parents, with longer life, people taking antiretroviral therapies or medicines, if you like, and people living longer, it means there will be fewer orphans. And, of course, there are huge numbers of orphans in South Africa, or, well, across all of Africa, there are all huge numbers of orphans. So it's great. Mm. Great news for the country, great news politically, culturally, great news individually for people living with HIV in South Africa.
Mm. So I guess from a good news story, a not-so-good story. Hmm. And this came from POS.com, which is a great news source, particularly for information on HIV treatments and how they impact on people living with HIV, not just about keeping, you know, the amount of virus at bay, but also other health issues that stem from using antiretroviral therapy. And one of the research that's just come out is about crystal use and how it may increase lymphoma risk in people living with HIV. And they're saying that weekly use may increase the risk of developing non-Hodgkin's lymphoma by four times. And it's non-Hodgkin's lymphoma is something that's not diagnosed as often now due to antiretroviral therapy and, you know, keeping the immune system boosted. But they're saying that crystal or methamphetamine use is now playing a part. And although this is just one study, they're hoping that it'll actually encourage people to do more studies around that because in terms of drug use, I was just having a look. Once I read this story, I was having a look about illicit drug use and diagnosis of cancer, for example. And there's often talk around the smoking marijuana and lung cancer and the impact or the increased risk of developing lung cancer, but there's no talk of other cancers and the association with illicit drug use. So I thought this was really interesting, and hopefully it will actually encourage researchers to look into that area a lot more.
Just one thing very important to take note for people. For people who are HIV negative, crystal methamphetamine stays in the body or stays active in the body for at least 10 days. And I've spoken to people over the years who say, oh, look, I'm not a regular user. I only use it on the weekends. And of course, if it's in the body for 10 days, that means it never leaves your body because it has, you know, if it's 10 days, a week has 7 days, then there's always an overlap. And for a person living with HIV, you have to take into consideration that it's double the amount of time. So if you've used crystal methamphetamine and you're HIV positive, then it stays active in your body for 20 days. So if you're using only on the weekends, then, you know, it's never going to leave your body. It's extend, you know, the time will extend as people are using. So, you know, we don't condone the use of drugs, recreational drugs, here on Joy or at the Victorian AIDS Council, but we look realistically that there are people who are using recreational drugs, and it's best they know the facts.
Yeah, and how they interact with other medications. So that's all for this week. Yep. in HIV news. But if you're interested in actually receiving an email of news stories, there's a service that we provide, which is HIV News Clips. And if you are interested, you could email hivnews@vicaids.asn.au and you'll receive a little email with a link to a whole range of articles on HIV, sexual health, sexuality, etc.
And of course, you don't need to be listening just here in Melbourne. You can be listening anywhere in the world. We can send that email to you because email goes anywhere.
Technology, amazing.
Indeed.
Well, next we're going to be talking about... this is Well, Well, Well on Joy 94.9 and you are with Tex and Kylie, and that was the National with All the Wine.
Great.
It's nice and mellow for us.
And it's nice to be mellow every now and then.
It is. I'm a bit hyperactive. I usually get a bit hyperactive on the show.
Start
pressing the wrong buttons.
Goodness,
and things.
No.
We are talking about the effect of celebrity influencing us to do perhaps some good, take up some good health-seeking behaviours.
Yep.
We've talked about Kylie Minogue and breast cancer, and you mentioned Rock Hudson.
And Magic Johnson, both in relation to HIV.
Yes. And, there are some positives if it encourages people to go and get tested or to go get screened. But it can also add, have some unintended negative effects. And I found a quote today and it says, "The downside of brief public health messages is that people get tested without realising that there is a risk of false positive results. Further tests, biopsies, bone scans, plus great anxiety, as well as all the financial costs involved." That's more from what's in the US where they don't have free medical care. And it says, there is no free lunch. That's from Dr. Atkins, and he's using the example of prostate cancer. Many prostate cancers may be slow-growing. The man would be better off not finding it, which I think is changed now because there's a real shift with in areas like prostate cancer. But, yeah, there is the issue of, I guess we sometimes talk about the worried well and sending them off for tests and more tests, and then people start thinking, oh, I've got this hurts or I've got a lump or what is this? And that whole anxiety with going and waiting, well, getting tested and waiting for results is no picnic.
Indeed. And, I mean, he makes an interesting point on that. There's no free lunch, you know. All of these tests and the different procedures do cost money, and whilst we do have free medical care, it comes from our taxes. So people undergoing unnecessary tests can impact on the medical budget, whether it's in a particular region, in a hospital region, or in a medical practice, you know. So, you know, there, as we said, you know, there are benefits, there are negatives. But Liz, actually, who does the show next, the next show, Fruit and Nut, actually, she came in and...
We made her stand in here.
We made her stand in here, and she's actually standing in her now. But she started to draw my attention to Jade Goody, the 27-year-old from Big Brother, the UK Big Brother. And, you know, she publicly fought cervical cancer. So not only did it impact on the number of women requesting screening, it actually prompted a review of screening guidelines for young women.
Because they have a very different screening program here. For in Australia, we have they encourage women to screen from the age of 18 or within 2 years of them becoming sexually active, regardless of whether they're having sex with a man or a woman. And we screen every 2 years. Over there, they say that women don't need to be screened, start screening until the age of about 25, and it's every 3 years. So it's very different. And so she was 27 when she died. I mean, there was some issues around the way that she found out. She found out when she was a housemate on Indian Big Brother because of some controversy that happened throughout the UK show. And she actually received her diagnosis on air over the phone from her doctor in the UK, which... you know, is a whole nother story.
Oh, indeed, and, yes.
You know, so there's issues around that. But I wanted to touch on something quickly before we finish with this topic about the use of celebrities promoting health issues. And that's, you know, that's increasing now. You know, to get people's attention, you now need to have a celebrity attached to your health issue. You know, which is, you know, if you don't have the money to, if you don't have a celebrity who is actually interested in that health issue, whether they've been affected by it through having it themselves or family members or friends, if they're going to volunteer their time, that's great. But if you can't afford to get a celebrity involved, yeah,
Your your illness, your condition may suffer. And other people, of course, in turn may suffer because the publicity about that particular illness or concern isn't making public because you don't have the major swimming star or movie star or singing sensation attached to your particular cause.
And I mean, I think it's great that they get involved because particularly if they're very passionate about it, and I think that's fantastic, and they're not doing it for their celebrity or to be
a fading star becoming a rising star.
Yeah, that example. I think a lot of people that in Australia that get involved have a very good profile already, and they're not using it to try and actually gain some ground. So,
if anything, they're giving back to the community by doing it.
Absolutely. Cool. Well, you are with Tex and Kylie on Well, Well, Well on Joy 94.9. I'll turn your mic on.
Thanks,
hey, how
Del.
About that?
Can I just ask, what was that last line?
You asked me when I played this before. Pearly like the whites of your eyes.
Right. Okay. Yep. Fine.
I was like, I bet you're going to ask me that because you asked me last time I played it, which was a long time ago.
Yes, Kylie.
But something that's coming up.
Oh,
very
yes,
soon,
indeed, and is very exciting, and is actually on this Saturday night at Circuit Bar, 103 Smith Street in Fitzroy. Although it's virtually in Collingwood, as we learnt last week. Last week, Jason and I chatted to Susie from People Living with HIV/AIDS Victoria because they are one of the beneficiaries of this event. And it's called the Adopt a Bear Teddy Bear Auction. So Adopt a Bear Teddy Bear Auction. And as I said, it's happening this Saturday night at Circuit Bar in Smith Street, 103 Smith Street. And it's a fundraiser for the People Living with HIV/AIDS Victoria Emergency and Distress Fund. And also, it's for the Gay and Lesbian Switchboard.
This has been another Joy 94.9 podcast. Joy 94.9 is a gay and lesbian volunteer-based community radio station committed to providing a voice for the diverse GLBTI communities. You can support our work by becoming a member or making a donation. For details, go to joy.org.au.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.